So I have to apologize for the topic of the shiur. According to the Marmar Kovetz, it says Chatzitz B'davra Makbid La'achar. It's supposed to be La'achar Zman. So just to clarify that we're going to try to discuss tonight a sugya very, very relevant to Halacha L'maisa about, so related to some of the intricacies of Chatzitza concerning particularly a woman who goes to the mikvah. And actually, this topic of the Shia was prompted by a real shayla, a real live shayla that somebody presented me just a couple of days ago that we'll share with you very quickly just the background of the shayla, and then we'll try to go through the sugya to understand what we hopefully will be the correct application of halacha. Shayla involved a woman who had a certain kind of a medical device that had to be connected to her body, and it was a type of medical device that basically is going to remain on her the foreseeable future, probably for the rest of her life. However, it's a type of a device that is changed periodically. So this particular thing, this in general will stay on, but this particular one will not stay on. So this is going to stay on for X amount of time, and it's going to be removed, and there's going to be another one. It's going to be constantly changed over the course of X amount of years. But the question is, can she go to the mikvah with this device on? Does this device itself constitute a chatzitza? Because on the one hand, it's permanent in the sense of that it's always, it in theory will always remain. This particular one is not necessarily going to always remain. So how exactly does that fall into the category of whether that's considered to be a problem of a chatzitza or not? So let's try to get some of the background of the sugya and try to see how to potentially apply this halacha l'maisa. So this, so in terms of tefillah b'mikvah, is something that in theory doesn't really only speak to women. Whenever there's a din of tefillah, so there's a halacha of a chatzitza. If you have a separation, something, a barrier between one's body and the water, that's a potential problem. Of course, the reason why we primarily talk about chatzitza is in terms of tefillah of women, because tefillah of men for us basically doesn't exist, the halacha, with different hagim sometimes to be tovel, but in terms of pure halacha, so of course the only tefillah that we have would be for tefillah for women, for tefillah's need. But we do have tefillah's geirim, and that would be, the dinim of chatzitza would be relevant for that. And we do have tefillah's kelim, of course, where the halachas of chatzitza are relevant for that as well. But 99% of the shaylas of chatzitza are going to revolve around chatzitza for tefillah for nashim. So comes the Gemara, the first of the Ma'amar Kamos, in Nidah Semazayim Rebeis, and gives us the basic format of what constitutes a problem of chatzitza and what does not. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, it's the middle of the first line, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Devar Torah, Rubo HaMachbid Alav Chotzitz. Rabbi Yitzchak tells us that the fact that there's a din of chatzitza in HaTorah, that is a given, that actually derives from Sukkim, but there is a requirement that there be an absolute touching of the water, between the water and the person's body. So chatzitza is a potential problem in HaTorah. Rabbi Yitzchak qualifies that by telling us that in HaTorah, it is only a chatzitza that only invalidates the tevilah if two conditions are met. Number one, it has to be on robe, it has to be on most of the person's body. And number two, it has to be something that you are machbid on, something that you care about, something that you really want to remove. If both of those conditions are met, then we have a concern of a chatzitza on a level of deraisa. What if one of those conditions are missing? So then ruba ve'ena machbid alav, ena chatzitz. But technically speaking, if it's a robe of the body, but the person doesn't really care about it, they're perfectly okay with leaving it there, so then technically it's not chatzitz, min haTorah. Nevertheless, with the Rabbanon, they made a gezeira that if it's on most of your body, with the Rabbanon, we should be concerned, because since it's so easily confused with a deraisa, midaraisa, if it's both a robe and makbid, it's on the majority of the body and the person cares to remove it, that poses a problem that will disqualify the tefillah midaraisa. So if one of those conditions is there, one is lacking, with the Rabbanon, it's a problem. And similarly, if it goes on mute, hamakbid, we should remove hamakbid. They made a gezeira at the Rabbanon, and even if it's in a small part of the body, so if it's something that bothers you, that's also a problem. So basically, the structure of the sugya is as follows: that midaraisa, in order to be a chatzitza, both conditions have to be met. Midarabbanon, in order to be a chatzitza, if one of the two conditions are met. So ask the Gemara, v'ligzor nami amiyuto she'eino makbid b'shubito makbid. Why didn't Chazal make a further gezeira, even if neither of the conditions are met? It's a miyut she'eino makbid. So the Gemara says no. That would already be a twofold, that would be two stage removed, din derabanan. That would be what we call an halacha gezeira le gezeira. That's already too far removed. So there are basically four different scenarios of chatzitza. It's like make a box of four different cases. There are four different scenarios of chatzitza. When you have both conditions present, neither condition present, or one and then the other. So midaraisa, it's only a problem of both conditions are met. Ruba hamachbid. Midirabanan, it's a problem of either one is met, and midirabanan, it's not a problem at all if no conditions are met. It should be fairly obvious that 99.99% of chatzita shailas are going to fall into one of these four categories, namely, the odds of us having a problem of a ruba hamachbid is between zero and zero. When was the last time a woman called and said, I just went mud sliding and I'm covered with mud from head to toe, right over my body is covered with dirt, and I really, really want to get rid of this dirt. I can't stand this. I'm about to take a shower, but before I take a shower, I'm going to go run to the mikveh. So that would be a problem with chatzitza midarais. Again, highly unlikely. To have a rubo in general is highly unlikely. Who in the world is going to go to the mikveh with most of the body covered with something? The problems that we always have, the showers that we always have are, is this a miut hamakbid? Or is it a miut she'eino makbid? That's a big question, because if it's a miut hamakbid, then we have a problem with the rabbanon. If it's a miut she'eino makbid, then it's mutl lechatchila. I mean, in theory, lechatchila should be. We have a minig not to go to even for that if we can avoid it. But mikra din, if it's a miut she'eino makbid, it's not really a problem. So basically, all of our shailas and luchas chatzitza are really going to revolve around one word. And one word is makbid, because it's never going to be a rov anyway. It's always going to be a miut. And we have to determine, is this a miut hamakbid, is it a miut she'eino makbid? And that makes all the difference in the world. Is the tefillah acceptable or not? L'mais, again, with their eyes, it doesn't make a difference, but with their abanan, for us, practically speaking, it makes all the difference in the world. So it behooves us really, really to define makbid properly. But before we can get to defining makbid, where do these rules come from? Where did Rabbi Yitzchak get this idea from? That there are two conditions, one's a rov, one's a makbid. How do we know that? Dvar Torah, we state in the Chumash, what is it saying in the Chumash? So comes Rashi at the spot and says, these two conditions are part of the oral tradition. These are Ish Pisha and Meish Rabbeinu. The Abba Mar, because we already know the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, Shiurin Chatzitzin B'chitzin Alachim Hashem Sinai. There are many, many Alachim Hashem Sinai that we have. But these are three that Chazal single out. All the halachas that regard Shiurin, namely, how do you know Kazayas, Kabetza, Keseves, Gregeras? There's so many different Shiurim in halacha that govern so many different areas. Where did it come from? Who made this up? But the Onamid Rabbah, the Chachamim made up the Shiva Kezayas? No. These are Shiurim that are in the Torah. Where does it say in the Chumash? It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash. These were Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So Shiurim are one category of Halacha that were Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Then the third category that's mentioned is Mechitzin. All the details of Luchas Mechitza. How tall Mechitza has to be. If you have breaches of Mechitzas, the Dinam of Lavad, less than three Tvachim. Some unique Halachas of Mechitzas vis-a-vis Sukkah, about Dofin Akuma. If Chach Posol, this Mechitzas Ben, all these wild Chidushi HaTorah about Mechitzas, these are all Dinim Deraisa, these impact Luchas Erevin, impact Luchas Sukkah. Where did any of this come from? The Gemara says these are all Halacha Moshe Mesinai. And then, tucked away in this third category is Chatzitzin. The details of Chatzitza. I mean, how do you know what's called a Chatzitza? What criteria are you using in a Torah to define Chatzitza? So the answer is two criteria. Using Rov and Machbid, where did these come from? These were given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Harsinai. So again, on a level of deraisa, it's pros probably never going to happen for us because you're very, very unlikely going to get a case of Ruba HaMachbid. But we still must define Machbid properly because that's going to make or break any shadows of Chatzitza. So we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in the third of the Mamakamas. So Shulchan Aruch tells us, Tzricha Shetitfol Kol Gufim B'Famachas. First of all, when a person goes to the mikveh, they have to tovel their entire body at once. You can't dip in half the body, then come out and put the other half in. That's not going to work. You can't have any chatzitzas whatsoever. Comes to Shulchan Aruch and defines for us with a very, very chumradik standard as to what's called the davar hamakbid. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if it's something that derech b'nei adam lahakbid alav, if most people are makbid on, most people care about it, implying even if you personally don't care about it, that's a problem. Then the Shulchan Aruch is going to continue in a moment that if it's something that you personally care about, even if most people don't care, that's also a problem. So hakpada is both subjective and objective. Either one, if most people in the world care about it, or you personally care about it, either one will disqualify the tefillah. But tucked away in that line, the Shulchan Aruch told us another chiddush gadol. And he said that afilum ein maperes lav ata. Even though right now you're not makbid on it, right now I'm not running to remove it. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Not only, let's say, if I have dirt, a big splash of mud over my body, by any stretch of the imagination, I have a big cup of dirt on my body, and I really, really want to remove it. That's for sure called the Dover Mappet. I want to remove it right now. But what if I have something a little more subtle than that? What if it's something that's on my body now, and right now I'm really happy with it? I actually would like it to remain. I'm planning on keeping it there for a while, but in a couple of days from now, I'm going to remove it. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, that's also called a Dover HaMakpid, and that's a problem that will also invalidate a Tevila. How did the Shulchan Aruch know that? Where does that come from? If you would have asked me, I would have said, Ein la mitzvah the Tevila b'kadosh v'shaita, means we should be done with here and now. Machpati, what's going to happen in a week from now? If right now, I call the rabbi and say, Rabbi, I'm perfectly okay with having this item in my body. I want this item to be in my body. I don't want it to be here in a week from now, but I want it to be here now. Why should we look to the future in order to paskin what's called the Dover HaMakpid? But how does Shulchan Aruch know this? This is a potentially tremendous chumrah. How does Shulchan Aruch know this? So the Shulchan Aruch didn't make it up. He got it actually from the Rishonim, who figured it out based on a sugya, on a Maimer of Chazal. It's actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Sifchav Gimel. We jump ahead a little bit. It's the end of the third of the Maimer Kamis. Shulchan Aruch quotes from a Tosefta that has the following din. Hashirayim, banezomim, batabos, bakatlos, all kind of different jewelry. You have necklaces, bracelets, and earrings, nose rings, earrings, rings, any kind of jewelry. Imrim refuyim enim chetzitzim. If they're loose and the water can actually get underneath them, then they're not a chetzitza. But if they're tight, then chetzitzim. Then they are considered to be a problem. Now, we have a minhag that we tell the women to take off all the jewelry before they go to the mikvah. We don't want to sit around and measure, is it rough for you, is it not rough for you, is the water getting under, is the water not getting under, it's hard to tell. So therefore, we have an age-old practice, the women do not go to the mikvah with their jewelry on. However, every once in a while, it's actually some jewelry. This happens fairly common, especially after a pregnancy. Sometimes a woman's finger swells up a little bit and she can't get her rings off. And now she knows how she's going to make first. Okay, she had a baby, she wants to go. Shulchan Aruch says that if it's rough for you and water can get under it, then it's great. And if it's tight and water can't get under it, then it's a problem. Is this considered to be loose? Or is this considered to be tight? So it depends. It depends why can't the ring get off the finger. So sometimes there are different problems. Sometimes the ring can move around a lot. You can actually move it around in a circle around the finger, but you just can't get over the hump, you can't get over the knuckle. But the ring is loose, so to speak. It's not removable, but it's loose, and water can sneak underneath the ring. So technically speaking, it's not a chatzitza. And again, under normal circumstances, we would never sanction a tefillah with a ring on, but ladies bear, you have no choice. So if the ring is loose enough that it's movable, and even though it can't technically come off, that would technically be okay. But what if her whole finger is swollen, that the ring is stuck literally against the flesh, against the skin, the ring is not budging off of the skin itself, not just that it can't get over the knuckle, it can't move. So that's a big problem. So then that's called the mehuta, that's called stuck, and that will disqualify the entire tevila. So there's a big problem. So the only way to get that ring off is the ring would actually have to be broken. The only way to be able to for the woman to go, or she'd have to either wait for who knows when until the swelling goes down, or she would have to have the ring broken. I found out a piece of information over the years, maybe some of the doctors may be able to help me a little bit more on this. My understanding was years ago, so not I haven't been answering shots for so many decades, but quite a while ago. So I was told that it's that you can just simply go like to a jeweler or something, someone who knows that was able to cut a ring for you. I was told later that people refuse to do it. The jewelers won't do it anymore because of insurance stuff or whatever it is. In fact, you have to go to the emergency room. You have to actually get it done in a medical facility because they're afraid of somebody getting hurt in the process. Anybody knows or any up-to-date info on the cutting of rings? So it's a big nafkamina. It's a huge nafkamina. You have to go sit in the emergency room for 6 hours to get the ring taken off. That's obviously much more complicated. I don't know. But I'll call upon him. You do have this halacha shulchan aruch. And again, the poskim say that it's going to depend on case by case whether that ring is called loose or it's called tight. So the Ravid has a comment on this Maimon Chazal, this Tosefta that Shulchan Aruch is quoting actually. The Ravid already reached him way before the Shulchan Aruch has a question. He says, I don't understand. Why is a ring a chatzitz altogether? What is wrong with her? Who doesn't want it to be a ring? She wants the ring there. Why is that called a Dover HaMakpid? And she's going to the mikvah, she doesn't want to remove the ring. Forget about the woman whose fingers are stuck. A regular woman. is ready to go to the mikveh. She wants to keep the ring on. So why is it called Devar Machbid? It's a mil she'eino machbid. Why does she have to take it off altogether? Why does the Tosefta say it's considered to be a chatzitz if it's too tight? So the Rabbit says, you see clearly from this Maamar Chazal, from this din, that machbid is not defined only by the here and now. That machbid, you have to look a little bit to the future as well. A woman does not want a ring to be there forever. Why? There's going to come a time when she wants to knead dough, when she's going to bake challahs, she's going to take her rings off. Or let's say even women today, not everyone needs dough. She's going to wash the dishes up. Women take off their rings all the time. So the Ravid says that just because right now she has no particular reason to remove her ring, but that's still called halachli adav ramach, but hashem sofo, hashem ba'osid, and because of the future. And that's also clearly subsumed under the category of adav ramach. So that's the source of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the source of this din. So this appears, if you take a look at the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, says the Taz spells this out in his comments on Shulchan Aruch. Well, the Ein Lahakos HaMutchid HaMakbid, who don't ask a kasha, why is the ring that's tied a problem? Isn't it a Mutchid HaMakbid? Pirish HaRaibid, Lefish HaMakpedes LaAsiru B'Shas Lisha. So says the Rabbit, no, even though right now, the human now, it's in a Makbid, but HaKpada is also defined by based on the future as well. So, it is this halacha that now poses a challenge for us in many, many different scenarios, particularly the shah that was presented a couple of days ago, that it's true that right now the woman wants this medical device X to be connected to her body. It's in her best interest that it be connected now. But there's going to come a time when she doesn't want it to be on her body. So is that called a davar machbid, not called a davar machbid? So it sounds like that's a problem. According to the rabbi, that sounds like that's a problem. So let's fine tune a little bit the definitions of hakpada in light of what we just learned, and see whether we can possibly come up with a little bit of a different spin on this sugya. So there's a pischa tshuva in the fifth of the Rambam Kamos that quotes what appears to be a very, very strange, almost arbitrary distinction within this halacha that we just developed. I am b'shut in the fifth of the Rambam Kamos. I am b'shut zichron Yosef shekasa of the mikom mako ba'inan. Says the Chubas Zichron Yosef that when does it make sense to say that something is called Makbid, Al Shem Ha'atid, Al Shem the future? That's only if it's something that's going to happen soon. Something that's going to happen fairly soon. Like needing dough. She's going to probably need dough in the next couple of days. Because after all, she's going to take off the ring today, or maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. So that's still called a davar ma'akpedah. But what if her hakpada is long, long, long down, and down the road, and in X amount of time from now, she's going to be very makbid to remove something? He says, no, Yitzhak doesn't think that that's considered to be a davar ma'akpedah. So the Zichron Yosef just put the brakes on this din, on this what we thought was a chumrah, which the mice is mikra din. It's based on a tosefta, it's based on a Maamar Chazal, a diuk from the Ravid. So comes the Zichron Yosef and says, not so fast. Makbid liachas man is not always true. It's sometimes true. If it's a close enough time that you plan on removing it, that poses a challenge. That poses a problem. But if it's really, really down the road, then it's not a problem. It is a very, very difficult Zichron Yosef at first glance because the Sata Devarach Lashirin, as Chazal said, we need to draw the line. 3 days, a month, a year, 6 months. At what point is called Zman Meruba, called Zman Mezum? What is it based on? Conceptually, it's very, very hard to understand what that means, a couple of days versus a lot of days. So Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that he thinks what the Zichron Yosef is driving it as follows. He doesn't think the Zichron Yosef is talking quantitative.
Join the meeting.
Versus X plus amount of days. But he thinks the Zichron Yosef and Piskachuba driving that as follows, as you mentioned. That sometimes you have a situation where I will be makbid to remove this item at any given time. It may happen tomorrow. It may happen in 3 days. It may happen in a month. It may happen in 10 minutes. There's no way of knowing. There is no set time that I want to have the item on my body. So says Ramosha, that's the problem with the rings. There is no set time to bake. It doesn't matter if you're going to bake in a day or in a week or in a month or in 10 minutes. It's not written in stone when a woman's going to decide to bake. So since baking is a kind of a thing that can happen all the time, So at any given moment, she may remove this ring. And that's what categorizes the ring as being a Dabar Malchut. Argues with Moshe, what if you have something that's it's set in stone? We know that you're not going to remove this item for X amount of time. Says Moshe, I don't care what X is. X could be a week, X could be a month, X could be a 3 day. It doesn't matter what X is, but it's a Zman Mesuyam. There's a set reason, there is a set time that is preventing you from removing this item. Says Moshe, that's not included in this parsha. That's not included in this sugya being called Davra Makbid. So Rav Moshe, reinterpreted the Zichron Yosef to say that it's not an absolutely written stone that every Davra Makbid Liachas Man is called Akpada. It's called Akpada if and when you can be Makbid at any given moment. So this particular tshuva of Moshe is very, very important because the original tshuva was actually about certain dental works and things that are put in, temporary things that are put into a person's mouth that are going to be removed, but they're not going to be removed until X amount of time. There are good, strong reasons, dental reasons or medical reasons, whatever the case may be, certain items that are connected to your body, inside your mouth or on the body, whatever it is, that didn't chatzitz inside the mouth also, that for very real reasons, this item is not coming out. Let's say, lamashal, it's a person that has stitches. Yeah, first, that's something done. Dental, they have stitches inside the mouth. And the dentist said, listen, there is no way these stitches are coming out for another 2 weeks. It would be terrible. If you would take these stitches out now, your whole mouth is going to start to bleed. I'm telling you, there's a Zman Mesuyam not to remove these stitches. So, Moshe argues, so that's not covered by the case of the rings. That's radically, fundamentally different. That's not a quantitative difference, that's a qualitative difference. That this is an item that you are not mocked, but I'm specifically not to be mocked with for X amount of time. And there's an X. The X is whenever the dentist says it's time to take out the stitches. So according to Moshe's breakthrough, this would impact many, many, many scenarios. But the problem is that Moshe's chiddush, first of all, is not agreed by everybody. So there were Gedolei Poskim disagreed with Moshe. That's true. But even according to Moshe, this breakthrough l'chora is not going to help us in this particular case. No medical reason that says keep this item on for 10 days and switch it in 10 days from now. The item on. You can't keep it on, the same item on for 20 years. It has to constantly be switched, whatever the particular device is. It has to constantly be switched. But on the other hand, it's not written in stone when to switch it. You want to switch it today. It's expensive. Each time you switch, you got to pay for a new one. So some people are going to switch it in 10 days, some switch it in 8 days, 30 days. You know, again, there may be certain guidelines as to you can't go past a certain point, but if you decide I want a fresh new one every day, there's a day. There's nothing stopping you. There's no Zman Mesuyam that's preventing you. It's a problem. So since it's something that's going to be removed, you're not leaving it forever. If it's something that's connected to the body, it's their permanent finish, gemarnu, let's say you have a permanent filling is put into your teeth, so we assume that's not a chatzitza, that's mamish part of your body from now on. It's never going to be removed. But this item will be removed. And it may be removed at any moment's notice. So even though practically speaking, you're probably not going to remove for another week and a half, well, that's a problem. That's like the baking the bread. That's much closer to the model of the baking the bread than the case of the stitches in the mouth. So the Chor Ramesh's big breakthrough may not be helpful for our particular shadow. But then Ramesh has a second breakthrough. Ramesh writes that what would it be in the following case? What if you have an area of your body that is going to be covered with X. X is, you know, this item, this device, this whatever you want to call it, is going to cover a specific part of your body. This particular item is not going to last forever. You're going to have to switch it for something else. You would never, ever leave this here forever. You're going to switch it with something else, and the item that you switch it with will immediately cover over that same spot again. And whether you switch this item 100 times, that spot of your body, you have given up hope of ever being revealed and opened and exposed for the rest of your life. You know, that's just the way it is. That particular part of area, the area designated as X, will be covered the olam vod. It will not be covered by the same item, the olam vod. It will be covered by another item, by multiple items. But the area of skin, the area of flesh, the area of inside mouth, whatever that area is, will always, always be covered by something. So yes, so Maisha, very limited Sheshayla. Is that called a Dovra Makbid? Is it not called a Dovra Makbid? So on the one hand, I'm planning on removing the item that's blocking the area right now. So I am mak betruma. I don't want this particular piece to be here forever. So I'm makbid to remove this piece. On the other hand, I'm not makbid to have this area exposed. I have already resolved myself that this area is going to be covered up. So if you want to give a practical example, it's the same case that Moshe was talking about the temporary fillings. Moshe was asked the question, what's the status of the temporary fillings? Is the temporary filling considered to be a chatzitza? So Moshe first analyzed the question from the vantage point of, is that called a zman mesuyam or is it not called a zman mesuyam? And if you're working with the assumption, again, you have to check with the dentist on this one, but if you're working with the assumption that there's a certain degree of a zman mesuyam, that this temporary fill is going to be here for 2 weeks. Nothing's going to happen between now and 2 weeks that's going to change those facts. So it could be that Rav Moshe is willing to argue that the temporary fillings are closer to the model of the stitches, in a sense, than they are to the model of the rings, because there's a zman mesuyam. One could question that about the fillings. Again, some of the dentists have questioned that over the years to me, that the temporary fillings, in theory, could be switched to permanent fillings right away. It's just that take some time to make them. Maybe, you know, as we learn a lot of things in life, if you have enough money to pay for it, so then you can get those permanent fillings faster. Now, I'm not saying you're going to, but again, I don't know enough about the industry to know, but if there's nothing medically, dentally, so to speak, preventing you from switching to permanent filling, you have to question, is that really closer to the model of the rings, or is that closer to the model of the stitches? I'm not sure. But Rav Moshe then has a second, Rav Moshe writes in the same tshuva, he thinks that a temporary filling is not considered to be chatzitza for the following reason. He says that a temporary filling, true, the filling goof was temporary. And nobody wants to keep a temporary filling forever. Kishmai Kainu, it's called a temporary filling for a reason. It's not there to last forever. However, nobody's going to take out the temporary filling and leave the tooth exposed. You're going to take out the temporary filling and fill it in with a permanent filling. I think that's no one. Dr. Cooper, am I correct? That's pretty much what happens. It goes from temporary to permanent. So that area of the tooth, you've been about to run. You're Michael already. It means that you've already resolved yourself to the fact that ate a little bit too much candy, a little bit too much sweets. You got a cavity. You got to have a filling. And come on, that's the way it is. So that area of the tooth is going to, I'd be as well as going to be covered with something. So it's true. It's not going to be covered with this particular temporary, but it will be covered with something. So one can argue that you're no longer makbid on that area of the tooth being revealed. So maybe that's called a davar she'edamach, but at this point, and even the temporary filling wouldn't pose a problem. So Rav Moshe is not halacha for that reason also. So Rav Moshe actually has multiple reasons to be not to the temporary fillings. First reason and second reason. There are some posts can question the first reason, some posts can question the second, some posts can question both. But Rav Moshe and Ikra didn't accept both. Rav Moshe thought that each reason is really independently acceptable. So Rav Moshe was not the only one who came up with this second idea. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has us also in the tshuva with this idea that whenever you have something that's going to be switched for something else, so that's always called a davar she'edamach. But now it could be that this second svar Moshe may help this particular woman in terms of this medical device. So the medical device that was connected to her right now is something that this particular device A is not going to stay there the vod, but next week or next month or whatever, 6 months, whenever she switches it, so she's going to put something else there. So I specifically asked the Rav who called me with the Shaila, I said, is this a kind of a situation that in 6 months from now, she's going to decide to have nothing there? So he said, no. He said, this is a condition that she has is going to last forever. And this is the, again, yes, well, nobody knows, you know, in theory, 20 years from now, maybe the medicine will change that. But the way the foreseeable future is that that part of the body is going to be covered with device, either A, B, C, D, or E. One device that's going to be there every 2 weeks, whenever she's going to switch it, is going to cover that area. So she has basically resolved herself to that area being no longer exposed. So the same that Rav Moshe relied on that tshuva, that svara vis-a-vis the fillings. So maybe we could rely on that vis-a-vis this device as well. Now, one could argue on that comparison, possibly, first of all, not everyone agreed to Rav Moshe's svara. And one could possibly argue that maybe the standards for chatzur chatzitza inside the mouth are not quite identical to the standards of chatzitza on the body for the following reason. The Gemara raises a question about all chatzitzas inside the mouth or inside the ears, inside the nose. That's what's called in halach the beis hastarim, the covered up, hidden, so to speak, parts of the body. Is there even a chatzitza altogether in the beis hastarim? So the Gemara has a very, very strange din. The Gemara says that in the beis hastarim, you do not have to have water. You don't require bias mind. There's no need for water to come and enter the mouth. When a woman goes to the mikvah, she doesn't have to open up her mouth, have the water flood inside her mouth. You don't require bias mayim, but you require what's called roi l'bias mayim. You have to have the ability for water to go there. So, i.e., if you have a chetzitza inside the mouth, that poses a problem. If you have a chetzitza inside the nose, that poses a problem. If it's inside the ears, that poses a problem. So, it's a strange din because we usually think that a chetzitza inhibits the water from coming. That's true on the body. Inside the base of starim, that's not really the goal of chetzitza because we couldn't care less whether the water makes it there or not. What we do care is that you have to have the theoretical possibility of water to get there. Sometimes you reach a part, it's so far inside the body, that's not even called base of starim, it's called balua. Say the person has a chetzitza inside their stomach, so inside the body, the body cavities. That's a joke, that's a nothing, that's not a chetzitza, that's balua. But within those parts of the body, a base of starim, right inside the nose, inside the mouth, into the ears, those areas, a called base of starim, and although you don't need bias mayim, you do need roil to bias mayim. So there is a big machlekes in Rishayim, but that din of chatzitza inside the base of starim is really a din deraisa. Tosfos claims that it is, and Ramban Rashi, but Rishayim claim that maybe it's only midrabbanan. So if the din of chatzitza inside the base of starim are only midrabbanan, so it could be that some of the svaras that we use to be makil on chatzitza in the base of starim may be a little bit more careful before we apply those to chatzitzas on the body, which is significantly more chomer. So maybe one could argue that maybe Rav Moshe wouldn't be makel the base of starim, maybe he wouldn't carry that kul over the chatzitza on the body itself. But again, that's according to others, that's almost like an arbitrary chibur. Like l'maisa, there's a bit of chatzitza in both. So if you think it's not mafet, it's not mafet. So basically, what I told this person was as follows: I said if it can be timed, because therefore she has to change this device every once in a while anyway. I said if it can be timed properly, that she changes the device right when she goes to the mikvah. Wonderful, that's great. So she'll take it off for, again, it's all assuming that medically everything can be done properly. So she'll take it off for a second before she goes under the water. She'll go under the water, she'll come out, and sure, finish, and then come out. And then she won't have any showers whatsoever. If it's not going to become feasible, not going to be practical to do that, so then I think me'ikim me'gradin is a big shasar chach, otherwise she's not going to mikvah, so it's a big shasar chach. So otherwise, I think we definitely have a right to rely on me'ikradin on Rav Moshe's second svar. Rav Moshe's first svar is not really going to help us. But Rav Moshe's second svar will help us. And even though, again, the original context of Rav Moshe's svar was in the base of starim, if we're really stuck, we probably mikra to the goof as well, because the svara is fundamentally the same in both cases. A lot of these shilas of medical and dental issues of what's called the remakbid, a lot of it revolve around this chiddush in halacha. The makbid is not defined by only the split second right now. We look into the future a little bit to define makbid properly. And then you have to further iron out what falls into the category of machmed echazman. So you have the first issue of Moshe about if it's a zman masuyim, but it's not a zman masuyim, then you have a second issue of Moshe. If it's something that you're machmed to remove the item, but you're not machmed on that part of the body being revealed. So when you figure out those two factors that go into the shiloh, then hopefully you're able to apply properly what would be a problem, what wouldn't pose a problem halacha in terms of hakpada, in the b'shastim. Thank you, everyone. A good night.